This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
It's a new day. I'm Rhett Palmer, your host, and I'm really thankful to the Lord above that you're tuned in. If you've tuned into this station and you don't even know what it is, stay right there, because perhaps a power greater than yourself has had you tune in. Right now, I've got Paul Westcott. He is an attorney at law that I admire. He's very bright, very balanced. Dad, how many children do you have?
Three adults.
Three children. Three daughters.
No, adults.
Three adults.
One daughter and two boys.
One daughter and two boys.
Yeah.
And you have a beautiful wife who I met recently.
Kimberly.
When a famous author was in town, we happened to be at the same event. And I asked if you would come on and give your testimony here.
Sure.
So where are you from originally? Were you brought up religiously? Or?
Sure. I grew up in Satellite Beach, just north of here,
Floridian.
As you know. My dad was in the Air Force, so he was stationed at Patrick Air Force Base. We moved there in 1968 and had the unique experience to stay in the same place for 8 years. You know, in the Air Force, you can bounce, you know, military, you can bounce around. So we stayed there for 8 years. My dad got transferred to Altus, Oklahoma in around 76. We had already bought a home, so he was gone for 6 months and then retired a little early, and then came back, and so I was able to grow up
in the
same place.
What did he do in the military?
He was an aircraft mechanic, and then got into he retired as a master sergeant. He was probably headed to become a chief master sergeant had he been able to stay in a little bit longer. But the choice between uprooting the family and taking us to Altus, Oklahoma, versus leaving two to four years earlier than he wanted to.
So he retired young. What did he do after that?
He worked out at the Space Center, and actually it was kind of a neat thing watching my dad because the squadron he was attached to was involved with the Apollo program. Back in the early 70s and mid 70s, we didn't have the satellite network we do right now. So during the Apollo missions, they would lose contact depending on the positioning of the orbit and the rotation of the Earth. So aircraft would be strategically located around the Earth to maintain communications. Well, my dad was his squadron. As an aircraft mechanic, so when they flew, he had to go with them. So when the Apollo missions ended, double whammy for our community, because that squadron got transferred to Ohio.
And wanted to stay here.
He wanted to stay here, and he got to stay for a little bit longer, than they sent him to Altus, Oklahoma. And then, well, on top of that, we're back to where I'm headed, is the economy in Brevard County suffered during that downstroke before the Apollo program. So.
Yeah.
My dad, you know, worked at a came home. I got to watch a pretty impressive guy, I have to say.
Was he a Christian?
Yes. Yeah. He worked at a Scotty's lumber yard.
Oh, I remember Scotty's.
While going to college to get his associate's degree. Eventually found a defense contractor that he worked for, but eventually set himself up to work out at the Space Center in quality control, physically on the space shuttle. So he had a second very
now
interesting career.
You said
career.
He was a Christian. God has no grandchildren, meaning no matter how dedicated your parents are to the Lord, that doesn't mean you know the Lord.
Right.
And some people sit in a perfunctory attitude. They sit in a pew thinking maybe they're saved. If I go stand in your garage, it doesn't make me a car. So at what age did you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus?
Probably. I grew up in a church.
What church?
Methodist Church in the Satellite Beach area.
And you were to differentiate Methodists. And I've sang in Methodist Church. I've sang in Catholic Church. I've sang in Pentecostal churches. So what do the Methodists believe that? Do you know? I don't even know. I mean, man creates these tribes. You know?
I grew up in the Methodist Church. I went to Florida Southern College, which is the Methodist school. Since being on my own and raising my family, I've attended and more independent churches, Bible-believing independent churches. I don't say that to suggest that Methodist churches are not Bible-believing by any stretch, but when you say what does the Methodist Church believe? They believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. I've been so long removed from the Methodist Church that I don't feel comfortable, you know, speaking in that regard, yeah. And giving definitive answer about what they do believe and don't believe.
It's kind of like with sprinkling, you know. I mean, I remember one time when I was younger, I used to sing. I sang at this African American camp, Christian camp in upstate New York in the Catskills. And this guy was really on time. He said, "Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, you'll go to hell." And I think, well, I got baptized in the Sea of Galilee. I got baptized. I don't know if they used the name of Jesus. I got all nervous. And somebody a few days later said, "Calm down, Rhett." I said, "You know, there was a thief next to Jesus. He didn't get baptized. And Jesus said, you're going to come to heaven." So, you know, if somebody sprinkle, I think in the end, God's going to go, "I don't know if you sprinkled or not," just like a lot of people are going to come to him in the end and say, "We did signs and wonders. We had miracles." And he'll say, "Get out of my face. I never knew you." But to others, he'll say, "You fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, took me in and gave me shelter. When did we do this to you? When you did it to the least of these, my brethren." So I think God is looking at our love. I mean, look at King David. He was a sinner, but God loved him. Because of his heart.
But also, the belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is actually my understanding of Scripture is dispositive or determinative. So, you know, if you look at the book of Acts, you see a process get established. And that process is you make the conversion, you're infilled with the Holy Spirit, and then you're baptized, okay? Well, the infilling—
it's a public proclamation.
Yeah, it's a public proclamation of what already has taken place, okay? The infilling by the Holy Spirit is the evidence of the conversion.
Let me ask you this. There was a little girl in here a few years ago, really cool story. She was out at the First Assembly, some of the God Church out west of town. I think Buddy Tipton was the pastor at that time. Anyway, he didn't baptize her, but somebody else did, but she said that she was deaf. She said the Lord told her when she gets baptized she was going to get her hearing. I don't know. That's what she said. Well, guess what? She came in here the next week. What's the first thing you heard? I heard a dog barking. And she had her hearing. Later on, I found that she married a guy. They became a pastor. Well, and somewhere out in the western United States. So something about this proclamation publicly is pleasing to the Lord?
Yes, absolutely. You know, but... And then the expression of your own faith and belief, you know, the believing in.
Now you're a lawyer, which is very good. Dad was a lawyer, but the Bible says the letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the law gives life. So my take is that God showed us that we had sins, the Ten Commandments, and then nobody can fulfill them. So that says, oh, well, you can't fulfill them, so you can't be holy enough. So guess what? I'll die on the cross for your sins. It's a gift of God, not that any man can boast arrogantly that he earned it.
Right, exactly. And it's not by our own, other than the act of faith and believing. You know, it's that's an interesting proposition that we should all keep in mind, is that we are, you know, a better understanding of real human nature would do a lot for this world. You know, you have these...
Like what?
For instance, you have these shootings. Well, he was a nice, quiet guy. I don't understand where this came from. Well, if we don't understand the true sinful nature of man, then we don't understand ourselves. So we are going to be surprised when people do bad things. You know, and we're going to have a skewed understanding of why people are doing certain things. And, you know, let's go to public policy. And I hate to get into politics, but, you know, if I'm a politician, if I'm a leader, and I'm going to set public policy, and I ignore the reality that man has a sinful nature, I'm going to do some pretty dumb stuff. Because I'm going to assume people are going to do the right thing every time when they're not.
And essentially, if you are a good person, and I guess... You know, Jesus, even when they said he was good, said, no, only the Father's good. So I shouldn't call myself a good person. But I'll put it this way. I think I'm a pretty good guy, and I've dealt, and I'm sure you have in business, where you look at somebody and you think you're playing the same on the same team, the same morals. There are people look you square in the eye, and absolutely be lying to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which astounds me because, I mean, I don't know why some of us, is it the wheat? Is it the chaff? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's very confusing.
Well, and that's actually, you know, and this morning when I got up, I said, okay, he wants me to give my testimony and talk about testimony. So, you know what? I'm going to look up testimony.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it can be a formal written or spoken statement.
Yeah.
Or it's evidence or proof provided by the existence or the or appearance of something. And that definition had an example attached to it. It's kind of a obscure one, but his blackened finger was testimony to the fact that he had played in pain. So I guess this is reference to some sort of sports figure or somebody that had been injured and continued to play, and the bruising or whatever of his hand showed the injury. Okay, yeah. Well, so I guess we can infer from that definition that part of our testimony can be our actions. You know, we can have a verbal testimony.
They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Right. And then are you going to bear fruit or not?
Like I remember my friend, he was a bass player, Bobby Vendetta in upstate New York. He said, I'm a witness. What do you mean you're a witness? Well, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I said, well, what do you mean a witness? And well, I'm witnessing to you what I am. So for a year, I watched him by the corner of my eye. And there was a change. Mm-hmm. And he actually was my first witness and one of the best witnesses. And right. Then later on, I got born again. But I'll always remember Bobby because something had changed inwardly about him.
Well, and on that, you know, we frequently think that when somebody comes to saving knowledge of Jesus, they should be completely changed thoroughly.
Instantaneously.
Right.
No.
And it's a process, we need to understand that. It's a process because you study the Word. You learn the Word. You're going to make mistakes.
How old are you?
I'm 59.
Okay, you're 59. I'm 10 years your senior, and I'm really shocked. I thought older people knew a lot more than I know. Now, maybe that's just me, but in other words, like, there's, you know, I'm a very imperfect person. And there are things I see about myself. I always think I was some great guy, and I realized later in life, I never thought of myself as arrogant. I said, you're a little arrogant there. Oh, I didn't know I was being arrogant. And, you know, God resists the proud. He's been very kind to me, but nonetheless, in spite of the fact that, oh, and I've also noticed a thread in life. Now, I've got to meet a lot of famous people. Just met a guy who won a Tony Award on Broadway. I mean, all these people. And I've noticed generally, there is a thread of humility, teachability, flexibility.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.